Well, think trains, think diesel fuel. But that might be changing. BNSF Railways, a transportation company owned by billionaire Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, just announced it will test using liquefied natural gas to power some of its locomotives. BSNF officials are calling this a transformational change, and it could be the biggest change for the railroad industry in 60 years. And it could affect us, as Kansas City is the second biggest rail hub after Chicago. With us now is Tim Katz. He's a reporter for Bloomberg News who's written about all of this. Tim, thank you for taking some time. Nice to have you.
Oh, thank you. So nice to be with you.
Well, Burlington Northern Santa Fe, known by its acronym BNSF, is looking at this. Why, Tim?
Well, I think it comes down to one thing, really, and that's the cost of fuel. Fuel costs are the second biggest expense for U.S. railroads after employee compensation. Keeping them under control is a major source of potential profit growth for these companies going forward.
And how much cheaper might liquefied natural gas be compared to diesel?
Well, let me give you an example. It's a little bit hard to say right now because diesel is everywhere. It's all throughout the rail system. Our over-the-road trucks rely on it by and large. And liquefied natural gas is still very early in its growth. But so Union Pacific, Burlington Northern's biggest competitor, second biggest railroad in the United States, huge player west of the Mississippi, they paid $3.22 a gallon on average for locomotive fuel in 2012. Now, if you look at the world's largest LNG fueling station, which is at the Port of Long Beach in California, you drive your truck up to those pumps, you pay $2.99 for the LNG equivalent of 1 gallon of diesel fuel. And if you are a bulk customer, and these railroads buy billion gallons of locomotive fuel a year, you can get about 30% off that. So you're looking at $3.22 on average for diesel and, you know, maybe low $2 range for liquefied natural gas. So it's a significant cost saving.
I was going to say, in the quantities you're talking about that railroads purchase when it comes to fuel, that's huge, right?
Oh, absolutely, and that's one of the reasons why not just Burlington Northern, but every major U.S. railroad is actively looking into the possibilities for liquefied natural gas right now.
Tim, can you explain to us how liquefied natural gas and diesel are different to begin with?
Well, sure. Diesel is refined from oil, and liquefied natural gas is heavily processed byproduct of natural gas. Basically, it's turned into a liquid and it's pumped through pipes around to wherever it needs to be used. And one of the things that's really pertinent for the railroads is that the energy content of a gallon of liquefied natural gas is somewhat lower than that of diesel. So one of the challenges they're trying to figure out right now is how to carry enough LNG around to get all the places that they need to go. And as I said before, you know, diesel infrastructure is everywhere. The trains are used to fueling up on diesel all throughout these railroads' networks. But LNG, you still have to get it from wherever it's being liquefied or wherever it's being taken out of the ground to the various places where the trains need to fuel. So that's another thing that all the railroads have to contend with.
Yeah, you just made an interesting point, one I wanted to talk about a little bit more. There is some question, at least right now, about whether liquefied natural gas has enough, I guess the word is potency, to pull the kinds of weight that locomotives have to pull. What do we know about that, and how big of an obstacle might that prove to be, Tim?
Well, I can tell you this. General Electric and Caterpillar, which are the two biggest manufacturers of locomotives, are investing very heavily right now in overcoming that problem. Mm-hmm. And the reason is the demand for this technology among the railroads is just so huge that companies like GE and CAT, who obviously have massive amounts of money to deploy for research and development, are placing big bets here. And I mean, you would be better served, I think, by having an engineer on to discuss the specifics of how they can overcome that challenge. But I think it is telling that you have companies you know, like GE, like Caterpillar, who are not accustomed to making losing bets, lining up to say to their customers, you know, we will be with you on this transition. As you said at the top of the show, could be as significant as the transition from coal to diesel in the 1950s.
Yeah. You know, I guess this whole question of power is something that Russ from Lenexa wants to talk about. Russ, good morning. You're on Up to Date. Our guest, Tim Katz, he's a reporter with Bloomberg News. Good morning.
Hello. Well, we kind of addressed part of my question, although, you know, there aren't any real technical hurdles to using liquefied or cryogenic natural gas as a diesel fuel. My question has to do with the price point. It is a cleaner burning fuel because it's a much higher level of hydrogen, but it is still a combustion fuel. Are they talking price per BTU or price per physical gallon? I mean, a physical gallon of liquefied natural gas is not comparable to a gallon of diesel any more than an Apple and an IBM are comparable. Are we talking price per dollar or price per BTU, you know, is the amount of energy required to move a diesel locomotive a millionth of an inch forward? I will take my answer via FM.
Yeah, thank you, Russ. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I think it's an interesting question. It was certainly a challenge for me as a reporter trying to nail this story down because you see the price for diesel fuel as you drive down the road all the time, and it's not that hard to get the national average. I think last week it was about $4.15, $4.16. But as I said, LNG is just not for sale everywhere. So, yes, there is a massive savings opportunity if you just look at the cost per BTU of LNG and then compare that to the cost of diesel. When I was speaking before about the Port of Long Beach, that's a diesel gallon equivalent. So that's holding constant the energy content of natural liquefied natural gas and diesel fuel.
All right. Let's go to Grover here from Kansas City, Missouri. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. We're talking about this transformational change in the railroad industry as it moves from liquefied natural gas to power some of its from diesel to liquefied natural gas. Let's go to Grover. Grover, good morning.
Well, my comment would be liquefied natural gas has a 36-hour window or thereabouts. Once it's not compressed on a continual basis anymore, so you'll have bleed off. So there is a huge difference between a diesel product, which is fairly stable, and LNG, which if you don't continue to compress it, it'll evaporate, I mean, even in a tank. So they've got a huge problem with, how far a train's going to travel in 36 hours and using the product before it's actually gone into the environment. So, we're dealing with that in the trucking industry right now.
All right, Grover. Great point, Tim. I assume the railroads know about this and are dealing with it. What do you know about it?
Well, I'm certainly not qualified to speak directly to Grover's point, but I will say that you talk to the rails about their hopes and dreams for LNG as a fuel source, and I think one thing that is a constant refrain is that this isn't a technology that's going to be ready to enter into commercial service on a wide scale anytime soon. I think Burlington Northern is being probably the most aggressive, as far as I know, in terms of getting a pilot program started at the end of this year with an eye to making a decision on the viability of LNG before 2015. But still, that gives several years for companies like GE and Caterpillar, which are used to innovating on an industrial scale, to come to some sort of conclusion on that. And I think all of the railroads would tell you that if the technology is not viable, then they won't pursue it, obviously.
And you're saying that at the earliest, trains will be running on liquefied natural gas. What, just it's going to take 2, 3, 4 years?
Well, I think it still remains to be seen. It's still very early days for this technology. But if you talk to Matt Rose, the CEO of Burlington Northern, he'll tell you that there are new EPA regulations coming into effect in 2015 that are going to limit the emissions from locomotives. And he wants to know by then whether Burlington Northern is going to meet those new standards with some new advanced diesel locomotive or a locomotive that burns LNG. So I think that's probably a good time to have in mind to think about, to come back and think again about, okay, well, how soon are we going to see this?
Yeah. Well, we're talking about how practical liquefied natural gas is because as I read about this, you're looking at the train companies having to build an entire new refueling infrastructure to take advantage of this. The cost of that, I'm sure, Tim, has to be considerable. Any sense of what you're looking at there in terms of, I assume it's billions of dollars?
I would wager that your assumption is probably correct. I don't know that anybody has been able to quantify it yet, but I think one of the reasons that this is such an attractive opportunity for a company like General Electric, which can make some of the locomotives to sell to their rail customers. They also make a great deal of equipment for LNG fueling infrastructure. So they make plants that can liquefy natural gas, and they are big players in the oil and gas equipment sector. So they see opportunities for them to make money on this technology coming and going, basically.
I guess that raises the question of what happens 10 years from now or 15 years from now if the whole power structure, a price structure around liquefied natural gas changes, Tim. I mean, the prices are low now. They may not be a dozen years from now.
Sure. I mean, it will be a significant risk that the railroads are taking in making this investment if natural gas prices rise, basically. So I think you are safe to say that for everyone involved in this project, there is a big bet that if LNG or natural gas prices rise, that diesel will rise in tandem, if not more, and that the economics will stay the same, because otherwise all of these companies, from the railroads to the manufacturers to the oil and gas companies who are going to presumably help with the fueling infrastructure, are taking a massive risk.
A listener called with a very good question. The listener wants to know, how safe is liquefied natural gas in the event of an accident? Would it burn? Would it explode? Would it release toxic fumes, Tim? And what do you know about that?
That is a great question. It is one that I will readily admit I do not have a good answer for, but I will tell you and your listener that if you talk to the rails about this, they will tell you that, especially in the last few years, they have increased massively the amount of other petroleum products that they ship across the country, and they feel pretty well prepared to deal with any kind of emergency that might arise due to an accident with, say, a extremely long train carrying petroleum or oil from one of the shale formations to, say, a Gulf refinery. And I would think that the level of danger is more of a difference in kind than a difference in scale.
Again, we're talking about this transformational change in the railroad industry that could see the industry taking advantage of cheaper prices you can get through liquefied natural gas and moving away from diesel. It's a 60-year change. We haven't seen anything like this in a long time. Our phone number here again, 816-235-2888. Our guest is Tim Katz. He's a reporter for Bloomberg News who's reported on all this. Just a couple of minutes left here, Tim. There's one question is about how friendly to the environment is liquefied natural gas. Is it friendlier?
It is. Friendlier. Look, I mean, anytime you burn any kind of petroleum product, there's going to be greenhouse gas emissions, right? The idea with liquefied natural gas is that it is cleaner. It's not clean in the sense that there will be no emissions. We're not talking about running trains on wind power or on solar. But I think that the railroads, because of these new EPA regulations that come into effect in a couple of years, are looking for incremental emission savings where they can find them, and to be able to also save themselves a lot of money while also taking the mission to cut greenhouse gas emissions into their own hands rather than waiting for the EPA to mandate a solution is attractive to them for a lot of reasons.
But I guess the flip side of the coin is to get the natural gas, you have to use a process called fracking, which involves, you know, pouring lots of water into the environment, using lots of water to extract this natural gas, breaking up rock. Oh, that's a concern to a lot of folks, Tim.
Indeed. And, one of the things that gets pointed out if you talk to people who are familiar with why this is such an attractive opportunity for the railroads is they'll tell you that, well, you know, Burlington Northern and Union Pacific are going to a lot of places where this shale opportunity exists already, right? So they're already where the natural gas is. And, I can't give you an opinion on the virtues or vices of fracking, except for to say to the extent that it's happening and it is keeping natural gas prices lower, then railroads are certainly looking to take advantage of that.
Yeah, good deal. Well, Tim, you're so kind to take some time with us today. We sure appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You bet. Again, that's Tim Katz. He's a reporter for Bloomberg News. You can find more information about him and our broadcasts at kcur.org.